Hi, good morning, everyone. This week's Bible reading is from Psalm 31. Just give it a second to pop on the screen. Okay. Psalm 31. For the director of music, a psalm of David. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my ears by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery, for I hear many whispering, terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I have cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and be silent in the realm of the dead. Let the lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all, on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from all human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed me the wonders of his love when I was in the city under siege. In my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him. But the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart for you who hope in the Lord.
Well, friends, Christmas has 12 days, as you know. So happy Christmas. Although things are a bit quieter now. And I've been given a free kick on whatever I want to preach on. So guess what? Regulars here will realise that we're going to look at another wonderful psalm. And we are now up to the 150 psalms, so there's lots of choice. Over the years, we've been working through them from time to time, and we are now up to Psalm 31. So we still have a bit to go, and as usual, I pray my usual Jewish prayer of blessing. That, well, especially at 9 o'clock, I pray this, may you all live as long as Moses so that you can get the full series. Oh, that's not part of the original blessing. I just put that in. Now, speaking of prayer, let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Psalms themselves teach us how to pray and show us how the Lord Jesus prayed. Thank you for this psalm in front of us, Psalm 31, and how it teaches us to pray when we are afflicted and distressed and to turn to you. We thank you that you are our strong refuge. In Jesus' name, amen. You might be familiar with the saying, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. I quite like that. Life is full of problems and anxieties and difficulties. You might have come to church today really struggling with some personal problem or family issue or pain. So you can possibly, either saying is saying, you can possibly take those lemons and turn them into lemonade. Take the opportunity that comes with trouble, do something with the trouble, and make it work for you. But what happens if your life is so full of lemons that you could build a lemonade factory? What if your house is so full of lemons, like a hoarder's hoard, that you've got no room even to sit? What if you have in front of you a literal Mount Everest built of lemons? So we'll turn to our Psalm, Psalm 31. If you've got it open in front of you, that's going to be a help to you. We're not going to cover every single verse. I'm going to say, though, that it is a psalm full of many lemons. I'm going to say those lemons include or cause a great deal of anxiety and anger and affliction. That's one of the commonly used words in the psalm, if you glance down through it. And I'm going to say that only in God's grace, those lemons end with assurance and adoration. So that's the basic move of this psalm. Anger, anxiety, affliction to assurance and adoration. Now, what does the psalm actually have to say? For the director of music, a psalm of David, if you're following along, look at verse 1. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. What an excellent start to a psalm. And as King David writes, he will return to this theme again and again. When there's a storm, you take refuge. When the storm involves the real possibility of you being put to shame, then God is our strength and our refuge. And he will deliver us from all shame because he is righteous, which is a word that means he always does the right thing. Be good to have someone on your side who always did the right thing. Sometimes people around you will give you free character analyses, and they may be saying something like, it would be good if you always did the right thing. Yeah, truth. God is righteous. He always does the right thing. Now, I mentioned anger and anxiety and affliction. Let's see what David might be experiencing. So verses 2-4, turn your ear to me, come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Notice how David, just looking at those few verses, this is a very poetic, musical thing to do, but it's also just good for pushing home the big idea. God is like, in these few verses, a rescuer. He's a rock of refuge. He's a strong fortress. So you can see it there. He's a rock, fortress, refuge. Yes, life is full of difficulty and even threat, financial, personal, relationship. Maybe your health is bad. Someone close to you is very sick. Where can we hide? God is rock. God is fortress. God is refuge. And we know about King David, who's writing this psalm, his life was full of anxiety, or at least reason for anxiety. Psalm 3, you may remember, very early on in the book of Psalms, he is praying while his son Absalom is on the hunt for him and trying to kill him. If you want to chase up the other threats that he was facing, go back to 1 and 2 Samuel and other parts of the Old Testament. He was surrounded on a regular basis, either by enemies of Israel who wanted to kill him because he was the king, or his own people sometimes wanted him dead. In fact, his own king, before David became king, it was King Saul, wanted to kill him. So these were not just angry people, they were smart people who knew how to kill other people. And they were continually looking to kill David. So, where does he look for assurance? Have a look at verse 5. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. I don't know if you recognise those words in verse 5. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Those are exactly the words that Jesus said when he was dying on the cross for us. So we'll get back to that. In the meantime, what a perfect way to respond to the horrible things that are going on in life. And there are plenty of them. Hand it over to God. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, my Lord, my faithful God. Got a really bad diagnosis from your doctor? Well, hand it over to God. Can't find the car keys? Hand it over to God. Someone in your life is suffering deeply and there's nothing you can do for them. They may not even live close by enough for you to easily visit them. Well, hand it over to God. There is nothing too big or too small from a health crisis to me losing the car keys. God can deal with all of it. Hand it over to God. Now, we talked about anxiety. What about anger? Let's consider anger that sometimes accompanies anxiety. Verse 6, I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord. I'll be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. Anger, anxiety, affliction, anguish. And so in verse 8, you have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. So I just want to make this observation. More than once in this psalm, David moves from anxiety and anger to assurance and adoration. Not to trivialise, but I found my car keys. Not to overstate, but you saved me from death on the road, or you saved my wife, or you looked after my daughter. Now, in verse 9 and following, we return to anxiety, not anger, I think, but listen and tell me if you agree. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I'm in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak. You can see there how his anxiety about what is going on and his awareness of the terrible things are actually causing physical symptoms. My strength fails. My bones grow weak. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. I'm in distress. As I say, we're not going to cover every single verse, but let me just single out verse 11 at the moment. Verse 11, because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbours and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. So it's not just his enemies that he's dealing with. It's not just his bodily affliction, even his friends. Have you had that experience? Or maybe just quietly you saw someone coming and you crossed the road? My wife used to work for a firm of architects, my wife Fiona. She's not an architect, she did landscape architecture and she was in the office as sort of an administrator, keeping the files in, organised. One of the men there, one of the architects, had a daughter who was killed in a traffic accident aged 9. She was riding to school on her push bike. She was hit just down the road from where they lived. She died. He talked about it to my wife, to Fiona, and said that many were there to offer support, But other people that he encountered as good friends almost never spoke to him again. Or some did, but they just didn't know what to say, so they never brought it up. They never said anything about this terrible loss, either for better or for worse, because how do you deal with someone whose daughter dies? Some, by running away. David, so writing this psalm, says, well, I've had a similar experience. And of course, we can think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. When it really came down to it, when the soldiers came to arrest him, what did his disciples do? They ran away. Or when he was on the cross, what did he say? My God, why have you forsaken me? So our next verses, and reading on from verse 14, are answering the question, so what happens now? What happens now? Anger, anxiety, affliction. Verse 14, but I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Hand the troubles over to the Lord. What causes us anger? What is making you anxious today or over a very long period of time? Hand that over to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our great healer, and we are following his example when he says on the cross, into your hands I commit my spirit, quoting this psalm. He will comfort and he will heal. Our anger and our anxieties, rightly handled, belong with God. We read in verse 17, let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I've cried out to you, but let the wicked be put to shame and be silent in the realm of the dead. Be silent in the realm of the dead. How's that for anger? I once heard someone say, look, I never really understood how someone would want to kill someone, but when my brother did something that put one of my children at risk, I wanted to kill him. Didn't really know what to say to that, but I felt it, yeah. Endanger my children? I want to kill you. So I'm working as a disability support worker now. I've heard more than one man say, if I found out that some pedophile had been hurting young people that I know, well, I'm going to kill them. Might not do it immediately, but I told one of them, who I thought I suspected of something, if you do anything, I'll find you and I'll kill you. Might take 10 years. I'm going to kill you. Thought, yeah, this guy actually means it. He's disabled, but he could probably find a way. You can understand that as an extreme response, or you can understand all sorts of extreme responses, actually. When someone does the wrong thing and it does it in a way that hurts us really deeply. But what does King David do with his anger? He doesn't take matters into his own hands. And you never see him doing that in any of the Psalms, as tempting as it might be. What does he do? He prays to God, verse 18, let their lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. So now we move on. The move of this Psalm of David is from anxiety, anger, affliction, to assurance and adoration. I want to speak again about the Lord Jesus who prayed this prayer. Into your hands I commit my spirit. That's the right thing to do, isn't it? If you're anxious or if you're angry, well, commit your spirit into the hands of God. Where does King David end up in this psalm? Is he anxious? Is he angry? And we're just looking at the last few verses now. He begins that way. See what he does in the psalm is like with anger and anxiety. But he moves from that to assurance and adoration. The assurance is God hears and answers prayer. Keep praying. So are you not a praying person? Start now. Are you a praying person? Well, keep praying. Don't get tired of it. Especially as you wake in the middle of the night and you feel whatever anxiety or whatever is happening to you, God hears, and he answers, and he assures. So in the final two verses of our psalm, we see that David and ultimately Jesus move towards adoration of God, who has become our salvation. Have a look at them. Verse 23, love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong, take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Yes, we are struggling with the Mount Everest of lemons. No, even our best lemonade factory can't deal with them. But God is both the giver of lemons and the processor of lemons. So look to him. As Johnny Erickson said, I've learned to glimpse at my circumstances and gaze at the Lord. Be strong, take heart, love the Lord Jesus, who himself committed his spirit into his Father's hands, and even as he died on the cross, looked forward to the hope of resurrection, to be completely declared righteous, and to save anyone who puts their trust in him. Look to him, be strong, take heart, pray to him in your time of need, and as we see his answer, we'll give thanks to him. Give thanks, because he does hear, and he will hear, and he does answer. And when he does, give him thanks. Amen.